Chapter 12 of the Life of St. Teresa of Jesus. This is a Discerning Hearts recording read by Chris McGregor. The Life of St. Teresa of Jesus of the Order of Our Lady of Carmel, written by herself and translated from the Spanish by David Lewis. My aim in the foregoing chapter, though I digress to many other matters because they seemed very necessary, was to explain how much we may attain to of ourselves, and how, in these beginnings of devotion, we are able in some degree to help ourselves. Because thinking of and pondering on the sufferings of our Lord for our sakes moves us to compassion, and the sorrow and tears which result therefrom are sweet. The thought of the blessedness we hope for, the love our Lord bore us, and of his resurrection, kindle within us a joy which is neither wholly spiritual nor wholly sensual. But the joy is virtuous, and the sorrow is most meritorious. Of this kind are all those things which produce a devotion acquired in part by means of the understanding, though it can neither be merited nor had if God grants it not. It is best for a soul which God has not raised to a higher state than this, not to try to rise of itself. Let this be well considered, because all the soul will gain in that way will be a loss. In this state, it can make many acts of good resolutions to do much for God and enkindle its love. Other acts also, which may help the growth of virtues, according to that which is written in a book called The Art of Serving God, a most excellent work, and profitable for those who are in this state, because the understanding is active now. The soul may also place itself in the presence of Christ and accustom itself to many acts of love directed to his sacred humanity, and remain in his presence continually, and speak to him, pray to him in its necessities, and complain to him of its troubles. Be merry with him in its joys, and yet not forget him because of its joys. All this it may do without set prayers, but rather with words befitting its desires and needs. This is an excellent way whereby to advance, and that very quickly. He that will strive to have this precious companionship, and will make much of it, and will sincerely love our Lord, to whom we owe so much, in my opinion, who has made some progress. There is therefore no reason why we should trouble ourselves because we have no sensible devotion, as I said before. But let us rather give thanks to our Lord, who allows us to have a desire to please him, though our works be poor. This practice of the presence of Christ is profitable in all states of prayer and is a most safe way of advancing in the first state and of attaining quickly to the second. And as for the last states, it secures us against those risks which the devil may occasion. This, then, is what we can do. He who would pass out of this state and upraise his spirit in order to taste consolations denied him will, in my opinion, lose both the one and the other. These consolations being supernatural and the understanding inactive, the soul is then left desolate and in great aridity. As the foundation of the whole building is humility, the nearer we draw unto God, the more this virtue should grow. If it does not, everything is lost. It seems to me to be a kind of pride when we seek to ascend higher, seeing that God descends so low, when he allows us, being what we are, to draw near unto him. It must not be supposed that I am now speaking of raising our thoughts to the consideration of the high things of heaven and of its glory, or unto God and his great wisdom. I never did this myself, because I had not the capacity for it, as I said before. And I was so worthless that as to thinking even of the things of earth, God gave me grace to understand this truth, that in me it was not slight boldness to do so. How much more then thinking of heavenly things? Others, however, will profit in that way, particularly those who are learned. For learning, in my opinion, is a great treasury in the matter of this exercise, if it be accompanied with humility. I observed this a few days ago in some learned men who had shortly before made a beginning and had made great progress. This is the reason why I'm so very anxious that many learned men may become spiritual. I shall speak of this by and by. What I am saying, namely, let them not rise if God does not raise them, is the language of spirituality. He will understand me who has any experience. I know not how to explain it, if what I have said does not make it plain. In mystical theology, of which I spoke before, the understanding ceases from its acts because God suspends it. As I shall explain by and by, if I can, and God give me the grace to do so. We must neither imagine nor think that we can of ourselves bring about this suspension. That is what I say must not be done, nor must we allow the understanding to cease from its acts. For in that case, we shall be stupid and cold, and the result will neither be the one nor the other. For when our Lord suspends the understanding and makes it cease from its acts, he puts before it that which astonishes and occupies it, so that without making any reflections, it shall comprehend in a moment more than we could comprehend in many years with all the efforts in the world. To have the powers of the mind occupied, to think that we can keep them at the same time quiet, is folly. I repeat it, though it be not so understood. There is no great humility in this. If it be blameless, it is not left unpunished. It is a labor thrown away, and the soul is a little disgusted. It feels like a man about to take a leap and is held back. Such a one seems to have used up his strength already and finds himself unable to do that which he wished to have done. So here, in the scanty gain that remains, he who will consider the matter will trace that slight want of humility of which I have spoken. For that virtue has this excellence. There is no good work attained by humility that leaves the soul disgusted. It seems to me that I have made this clear enough. Yet, after all, perhaps only for myself. May our Lord open their eyes who read this by giving them experience, and then, however slight that experience may be, they will immediately understand it. For many years I read much and understood nothing. And for a long time, too, though God gave me understanding herein, I never could utter a word by which I might explain it to others. This was no little trouble to me. When His Majesty pleases, He teaches everything in a moment so that I am lost in wonder. One thing I can truly say, though I conversed with many spiritual persons who sought to make me understand what our Lord was giving me in order that I might be able to speak of it, the fact is that my dullness was so great that I derived no advantage whatever, much or little, from their teaching. Or it may be, as His Majesty has always been, my master. May He be blessed forever. For I am ashamed of myself that I can say so with truth. That it was His good pleasure I should meet with no one to whom I should be indebted in this matter. So, without my wishing or asking it. I never was careful about this, for that would have been a virtue in me, but only about vanity. God gave me to understand with all the distinctness in a moment, and also enabled me to express myself, so that my confessors were astonished, but I more than they, because I knew my own dullness better. It is not long since this happened, and so that which our Lord has not taught me, I seek not to know it, unless it be a matter that touches my conscience. Again, I repeat my advice. It is of a great moment not to raise our spirit ourselves, if our Lord does not raise it for us. And if he does, there can be no mistaking it. For women, it is especially wrong, because the devil can delude them, though I am certain our Lord will never allow him to hurt anyone who labors to draw near unto God in humility. On the contrary, such a one will derive more profit and advantage out of the attack by which Satan intended to hurt him. I have dwelt so long upon this matter because this way of prayer is the most common with beginners, and because the advice I have given is so very important. It will be found much better given elsewhere. And I admit also that in writing it, I am ashamed of myself and covered with confusion, though not so much as I ought to be. Bless forever our Lord, of whose will and pleasure it is that I am allowed, being what I am, to speak of things which are his, of such a nature and so deep.